Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Tune Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. We've finished with that shot in 1984 that we got about a month, 2 months out of. We've now moved on, and the random pop blob has selected a new chart for us to focus on. Random pop blob, use your gob. Tell us how to do our job. There we are. Shall we do the top 40 rundown like we did last time, Sam?
That was a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Shall we do that then? All right, start at number 40. In at number 40, it's Radio Stars with Nervous Wreck.
Down 10 places at 39, it's Warden of Our League. Down. Fuck.
It's not easy, is it?
Failed my Top of the Pops audition straight away. Down 10 places at 39, it's Morning of Our Lives by Modern Lovers.
In at 38, adverts, no time to be 21. Tell them about it.
At 37, let's have a quiet night in. That's by David Soul.
Sounds nice till you realise that a few years later he beat his wife.
Quiet night in, chance would be a fine thing.
In at 36, Rush, closer to the heart.
And at 35, Blue Bayou by Linda Ronstadt. Oh, lovely lady.
Linda Ronstadt. Ooh. Down 12 at 34, Julie Covington, Only Women Bleed. I saw a fight at a men's club last week and I can confirm that no, only women do not bleed, Julie.
Perhaps she's talking about the menstrual cycle, mate. I don't know.
Come on, it's daytime. Don't mention that.
At number 33, up 10 places, it's Emotions by Samantha Sang.
In at 32, Rita Coolidge, Words.
At 31, Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Amazing.
In at 30, Billy Joel, Just the Way You Are.
29, theme from Which Way Is Up by Stargard.
Down 14 to 28, Crystal Gale, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue.
27, It's a Heartache, Bonnie Tyler.
In at 26, Yellow Dog, Just One More Night.
25, Smokey, For a Few Dollars More.
Still at 24, Rich Kids with Rich Kids. Try and think of a title for your song next time, guys.
On 23, it's T-Connection with On Fire.
Straight in at 22, it's The Stranglers, 5 minutes.
At 21, Gordon Giltrap, Heart Song.
Down at number 20, Imperials, Who's Gonna Love Me?
Down in 19 this week, it's Dance, Dance, Dance by those lovely lads and lasses of Chic.
Up 3 at number 18, it's The Sweet and Lovers Like Oxygen.
He's not wrong. At number 17, it's War with Galaxy.
Still at 16, the Electric Light Orchestra, Mr. Blue Sky.
Number 15, it's Tonight with Drummer Man.
Up 4 at 14, Rod Stewart with Hot Legs and I Was Only Joking.
I was only joking.
Sorry, love, only joking.
At 13, it's Heatwave with The Groove Line. Rod Temperton, of course. I've written a song called The Groove Line.
Up 8 at number 12, Darts, led by Den Hegarty. Come back, my love.
At number 11, Rose Royce, A Wishing on a Star.
Down one place at number 10, Bob Marley and his Wailers, jamming and punky reggae party.
Not the kind of party I'd like to go to, but I've heard they're
absolutely
a lot of fun.
Not. There'll be a lot of bleeding going on one of those parties, I reckon.
I prefer just a quiet barbecue with close friends and neighbours. At number 9, Donna Summer claims that love's unkind.
Sorry to hear
well,
that, Donna.
Can be.
Up 5 at 8, Baccarat, Sorry I'm a Lady. Sorry to hear that as well, Baccarat.
At number 7, how do you turn a duck into a soul singer? You put it in the microwave. You put it in the microwave until it's Bill Withers. And that's who's at number 7 this week, Bill Withers with Lovely Day. Isn't it just?
Great stuff. Down one place at number 6, Odyssey, Native New Yorker.
At number 5, Wings with Mullikintyre / Girls School.
Uh-oh.
Weird. I didn't know that was a double A-side. We'll get on to that.
Still at number 4, Scott Fitzgerald and Yvonne Keeley. If I Had Words.
At number 3, Uptown Top Ranking, it's Althea and Donna.
Up 8 places at number 2. Gotta be next week's number 1. It's ABBA. Take a Chance on Me. I take a chance on 50% of them.
And at number 1. Number 1. Up 2 places. This week's UK number 1 is Figaro by Brotherhood of Man. And here they are in the studio. It's the Brotherhoods.
It's the poor man's ABBA. I'm just looking to see if ABBA did get the number 1 the following week. And thankfully, yes, they did. Brotherhood of Man just had 1 week at the top of Figaro.
That's one of my favourite ABBA songs, I would say. Take a chance on me. Not my favourite. Obviously, SOS is my favourite.
Is it?
I would say that's got to be every right-minded song fan's favourite ABBA song, isn't it?
SOS?
SOS, yeah. Mm.
Maybe Winner Takes It All for me, but I really like the Misery.
Very maudlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like very maudlin, mate. You liked it because she was at her most vulnerable, wasn't
she? She was suffering, yeah.
I remember seeing that on Top of the Pops in very, very early memory. I mean, I would have been, three in 1978. I don't know when SOS came out. Winner Takes It All. Was that their last hit, Winner Takes It All? Because I remember interpreting that as her having been slung out of the band and was singing a song about it. But they'd agreed to be in the video sort of laughing at her. Like, you know how you perceive things when you're a kid, you get confused and a lot of things seem scarier and more horrible than they actually are. Mm. And I thought, fuck me, ABBA have chucked out the pretty one. And she's singing about it, but they're in the fucking video gloating. I thought that's what the song was about. Like, you've won, take your prize, I'm out of the band, I get it, fine.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the last one. They did more after that, but I can kind of see where a small-minded child would be coming from, thinking that. Mm. Yeah, I'm just looking at the lyrics of Girls School by Wings.
Oh, yeah.
To see if it's as dodgy as I think it might be. Sleepyhead kid's sister lying on the floor, 18 years and younger boy, well, she knows what she's waiting for. God. Yuki's a cool school mistress. She's an oriental princess. She shows films in the classroom, boy. They put the paper on the windows. What can the sisters do? Girls' school.
I don't like the sound of this, Macca. No. You've been too long up on that fucking farm, mate. You're thinking all sorts of weird, dark thoughts.
Now Roxanne's her woman trainer. She puts the kids to bed. She gives them pills in a paper cup and she knocks them on the head. That sounds like a nursery rhyme, that, doesn't it?
He's gone back to Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Mm.
It's quite bashing people only. One of the most common themes in my songs between about 1970 and 1980 were people getting bashed over the head. It was just something that I became really interested in, and John wasn't so interested. So, you know, when we originally formed Wings, I said to Linda, why don't we do a concept album that's just about people having their heads smashed in?
Now that I'm free to do that, now that I'm free of the shackles of the Beatles.
John was very narrow-minded about that. A lot of people perceive him as this sort of free-minded, creative force, but in fact, he was a fucking conformist.
Which was a bit weird, because like David Soul, he also beat his wife up on more than one occasion. So I thought it was quite odd that he wouldn't want to sing about it, but there you go.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
It's a brilliant song.
It's brilliant. The lyrics are very, very iffy, but it's brilliant. I love it.
It's a brilliant song, yeah. I really can see myself getting down to that one. I did get down just then.
Did you? Well, just done. Very briefly.
Mull of Kintyre was for many years always in pub quizzes and so forth. It was the best-selling single of all time, wasn't it?
It was until Band Aid came along in 84.
Yeah. And since then, has it been surpassed again? I don't know.
Elton John, but, Candle in the Wind.
Oh, fuck.
I think anything sold more than that. Candle in the Wind, Diana version. But Mull of Kintyre, it was number one for weeks and weeks on end, I think, wasn't it? Because it was the Christmas number one of 77, and it was still just dropping down the chart. Wow, I'm looking now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 weeks at number one, Mull of Kintyre. And it was everywhere. I didn't really know anything about the Beatles at this point. I didn't know that Paul McCartney was a Beatle. I didn't know what they were.
Had been in another band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wings was all I knew about. I knew that he was a big deal. But, And of course, Mullah.
One of my earliest memories was him being nicked for having cannabis on him on a yes. plane.
Yeah, he was in prison in Japan, wasn't he, in 79? Yeah,
I remember that, because I remember my mum talking, it being on the news, and my mum going, I don't really like that Paul McCartney anyway. I don't know why she was against Paul McCartney.
They throw away the key.
Fucking junkie. Doesn't surprise me. You wouldn't have got that nice John Lennon taking any of those drug cannabises.
And of course, there was the rumour among Beatles fans that he'd been busted at the airport in Tokyo because Yoko Ono had made a call. And grassed him up.
Oh my God.
Which, of course, I don't think that holds water, does it?
It's also a slightly racist
of
theory.
It is, yeah.
You know what that would be? That would be that Yoko Ono, wouldn't it?
Tokyo, isn't it?
Should we all connected?
She got an hotline. She got an hotline to the president.
Hello, this is Yoko Ono.
Oh,
a man called Paul McCartney is passing through Tokyo Airport very soon. Check his bags closely.
TTFN.
TTFN, dickheads.
Love to the wife and kids and everyone back
Sayonara,
there.
Sayonara, dickheads. All the best. God bless.
So, Mull of Kintyre. That was the kind of level of record buying that my gran was at. She got Mull of Kintyre in 77, and then in 78 she got the Floral Dance. Do you remember that? By the Brighouse and Rastrick Brass Band. And Terry Wogan did a version of it as well.
Right.
Probably before your time. She bought that as well. And then she didn't buy any other singles until Ennio Morricone did a track called Key My, which was the theme from The Life of David Lloyd George on BBC One in 1982. Which got a number three.
I didn't know they'd made a dramatisation of The Life of Lloyd George on BBC. I'd like to see that. He's a fascinating character, isn't he?
Yeah. And there was bits of the series in the video for it with him walking along riverbanks and shit like that.
I wonder who played him.
Fuck, don't know.
Was it anyone good?
I don't know. It was 1982.
I would have liked it to have been probably... Oh, what's his name? I tell you, it'd have been brilliant because David Lloyd George was Welsh and they did look quite similar. Was what's his name from It Ain't Half Hot Man?
Windsor Davies.
Fucking perfect, Lloyd George.
I'm looking it up now. The Life and Times of David Lloyd George is a BBC Wales drama serial broadcast in 1981. Philip Maddock, who of course was the husband of Ruth Maddock, who was Gladys in Heidi High.
I might watch that if it's on YouTube.
Bound to be, isn't it?
McCartney explains Mull of Kintyre by saying, I certainly love Scotland enough, so I came up with a song about where we were living, an area called Mull of Kintyre. It was a love song, really, about how I enjoyed being there and imagining I was travelling away and wanting to get back there. I mean, I said before that if I could aspire to anyone's life at any time, I've always pictured myself as Paul McCartney in the Mull of Kintyre era.
Strolling
about a farm, but I don't know whether Paul McCartney put any grafting on the farm, because I like the idea of living on a farm out in the wilderness, but I don't want to put any grafting at all.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any actual farming.
Yeah, he probably did the bare minimum, didn't he? He'd have had people to do the actual farming.
He'd have had farmers, yeah. So, that's why I actually like this song. Like, people don't like it. A lot of people don't like it, do they? Because they think it's corny.
Yeah.
But I think it's fucking great. It's a great song. And the bagpipes and all of that, I'm banging to it. Mull of Kintyre, oh, mist rolling in from the sea, my desire is always to be here, old Mull of Kintyre. Lovely lyrics too, aren't they? Yeah.
Got a very fucking good, hell, just I wouldn't rest mind doing, it,
I wouldn't mind us going up and doing some sort of live show in Mull of Kintyre.
Yeah, we've probably got a very, very strong fan base there, I reckon.
Wait, if you're listening, if you're an IFS member and you are either in or near Mull of Kintyre, get in touch. Let us know whether you'd like us to visit and when you could rustle up a crowd. Mm-hmm. Because I don't even know where it is. I presume it's just fucking way up there.
Well, I mean, we played Thirsk, didn't we? Yeah, I imagine it's Scotland's version of Thirsk.
Maybe. Maybe
get 85 people through the door if we're lucky. We'll do it in a barn.
Yeah. Hopefully not those Larry cunts you turned up in Thirsk.
Oh, God. Mixed emotions that night.
What's your favourite Wings song? Mine's Maybe I'm Amazed. But ooh. I'll admit, I don't really know many, so it's not saying much.
Silly love songs, I reckon.
Don't know it. I'll look it up.
Okay. It's not in this chart, so I can't insert it into the episode.
No.
We're forbidden to speak about it due to the rules. That's Mull of Kintyre then. What else is going on in the chart? Very, very
I'm
weird.
I'm a native New Yorker.
The Bee Gees, Stayin' Alive, is number 31. Oh, yeah. It's only gone up 3 places.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it ended up being a top 5 hit, but it started slowly in the chart. I'm not throwing any accusations around. It went up number 18 the following week, but it might well be that someone at the Bee Gees record company knew where the chart return shops were and went and bought a load of singles in the chart return shops.
Why are you saying that?
I don't know. Might have happened. You see that quite a bit. You see a record that became a big hit and it starts off very slowly, and then all of a sudden there's a big leap in its chart position. Don't know.
Right.
Don't know.
Well, Stayin' Alive is a fucking astonishingly
it's an
good track.
Enormous song, isn't it? Yeah, and it saves lives as well because you use it to do a heart massage.
There you go. It's also off of. Funny enough, I was talking to my brother about this last night. We were discussing at the cinema where we went last night. They had vinyl records for sale of classic soundtracks,
right?
And my brother was arguing that he suggested that a lot of soundtracks are simply just playlists, aren't they? They're curated playlists rather than a bunch of records, the songs assembled for the thing. Anyway, I said that the best soundtracks ever for me is a toss up between The Harder They Come, which is Jimmy Cliff plus various other artists, or Stayin' Alive. And ultimately, we came down just on the side of Stayin' Alive as the greatest soundtrack.
Saturday Night Fever, though.
Sorry, Saturday Night Fever.
Wasn't there a film called Stayin' Alive, though? But that wasn't...
That's a sequel. It's a sequel. Same bloke. It's Travolta, but by that stage, he's involved in some other caper. Aerobics, that sort of thing.
Travolta, he's back. Involved in some kind of other caper. Stayin' Alive.
Yeah, it's a sequel. I mean,
Got any ideas for a sequel? Yeah, well, it's Travolta again, but this time he's involved in some kind of other caper. I ain't worked that one yet, but you know, getting up all sorts of tricks.
He's got a new project on the go, right? Same geezer, but he's moved on from the disco dancing, right? And he's got himself involved in some other malarkey. It's good. It'll be good though. Don't worry. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. Mm. No time to talk.
Mm.
Music loud and women warm. I've been kicked around since I was born.
Nice.
And now it's all right. It's okay. Don't worry about that, right? Yeah. I got kicked around some bomb. It don't matter now because I'm a woman's
Everything's
man.
Everything's on the app. Everything's coming up Travolta.
And you may look the other way. Mm. We can try to understand the New York Times effect on man. Fucking hell. What lyrics. Well done, Barry Gibb.
Yeah.
Anyone, it's a great album, isn't it?
Anyone who underestimates the Bee Gees or denigrates the Bee Gees is a fucking clown. Do not darken my doors with Bee Gees dissing.
I think, have they sold more records than Lennon and McCartney? Or are they second to Lennon McCartney?
I'm not sure.
I think it's close. I think they're like the two best-selling music writers of all times. Yeah, because they wrote songs for other people as well, didn't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, they wrote some of the tracks on Saturday Night
Fever. I am a woman in love.
Jalapeño.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Also on the soundtrack of Saturday Night Fever, If I Can't Have You by Yvonne
Elman. My God. Oh, my God. What a
if
song.
If I can't have you, I don't want
nobody, baby.
Absolute classic.
I used to listen the fuck out of this album when I was younger. Like, but we're talking about like the early 90s, I had it. And I got rid. That was when I first got super, super into disco music, you know, 20 years after it had been a thing.
Yeah.
Because I was a bit too young first time around. And then I sort of thought disco music is silly, like D-I-S-C-O.
Yeah.
And then I think I saw the film one night late and thought it would be a silly, cheesy film about disco.
About dancing.
In fact, it's fucking dark
movie, right?
It's gritty. Super dark.
Yeah.
It's gritty. It's like, you know what? We talk about Ken Loach quite a lot on this podcast. Yeah. Ken Loach wants to take a... If you want to make a fucking film, right, about the gritty realities of urban working class life, but without being a patronising, boring dickhead about it, right, and making sure it's got a fucking cracking soundtrack, right, then watch Saturday Night Fever, Ken Loach, because that is what your film... I mean, all of your films, whether it be Raining Stones, I Am Daniel Blake,
Poor
or his
cow.
More recent one... the world's unluckiest van driver, right? Stick a fucking disco soundtrack in it. You should have called up Barry Gibb. Hello, it's Loach here. Listen, I've made this film about a fucking van driver, but his van keeps breaking down. He's losing the keys. Or everything that could go wrong, gets a flat tyre the lot. Needs spicing up a bit because it's a bit boring. Can you do us a load of fucking disco tracks to go in it?
What?
About vans, mainly. How deep is your love? Staying alive. Disco Inferno. Night Fever.
Yeah.
KG. Wait. A fifth of Beethoven. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a disco version of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Night on Disco Mountain.
One of the best titles of the songs ever is Night on Disco Mountain.
Yeah.
More than a woman. More than a woman to me.
That soundtrack is fucking phenomenal.
It's almost a song, isn't it? As you once said about Chaka Khan, I Feel For You, it's almost bulletproof.
Yeah.
Nothing can injure it, this album. Get it on vinyl and shoot a gun at it, it won't shatter.
But the film itself was massive. Even though it is kind of gritty, it doesn't look like a sort of film that would break the box office records. Especially as it came out before Grease, which pretty much did.
Disco Fever gripped the world, the Western world, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it wasn't a cuddly kind of, an easy sell as a film, even though it was a bit of a disco thing.
I think the marketing was very different from the film. I don't know exactly what happened, but it seems to me it's the sort of thing where someone had written a script just that wasn't about disco per se. It was about urban life in New York, right? And these young people struggling with the things young people can struggle with,
It was based on some magazine features, wasn't it?
Right, okay. That happened a lot in those days. But I think that basically they would have thought, well, let's go heavy. This is going to be a hard sell, so let's go heavy in the marketing on the disco angle, which means if you look at the poster It looks like a sort of fairly superficial sort of teen movie from the poster, because John Travolta's pulling his trademark disco point in the finger move in his white suit, and the girl who's in it, who is an amazing character, she's actually looks quite demure in it and is sort of standing back amazed by him. And then of course you've got all the songs by the Bee Gees, who were massive selling artists at the time, and so all the focus was on that. So I think a lot of people were probably lured into going along thinking that they were going to watch something not dissimilar to Grease, that kind of a movie. And then they got there and it was fucking people jumping off bridges, suicide all over the place, madness.
Yeah. I briefly mentioned Grease there as a comparison. Also, while we're talking about the Bee Gees, Barry Gibb wrote Grease, which was sung by Frankie Valli, which is
an amazing
song.
I mean, that's the best song on that soundtrack, which again, the Grease soundtrack in a very different way, still a fucking great soundtrack, right? I mean, not one that I'd necessarily listen to walking around in my headphones, but the other day when we were painting my daughter's room, I can't remember why, but I started singing all of the famous tracks from, I started going through the whole Grease soundtrack, but sung in the style of a cat. So I was
okay.
Well, I love you, Papa, who is? You're my loving, really, 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 little girl, cute as can be. It drove her fucking nuts. And I was like, I think this is fun. Let's go through the whole thing. I did Stranded at the Drive-In, Feeling a Fool.
Mm-hmm.
I did. And then finally, I said, you got to like fucking Frankie Valli doing Grease. But no, she wasn't having it. She hated it. It made her upset and angry.
A bit like the public as well, because in between all of that, in between Saturday Night Fever and then Grease coming out, was also involving the Bee Gees, the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band film. Have you seen that?
No.
That came out in 1978. Now, that the Bee Gees starred in it. I don't know if they did any songs for it. Because obviously the songs will have been Beatles. It starred Peter Frampton, the Bee Gees, Frankie Howard, Paul Nicholas, Donald Pleasance.
Hello, Pet.
Steve Martin, Aerosmith, Alice Cooper.
Oh my God.
Earth, Wind and Fire, Billy Preston, and George Burns.
That's a great cast, to be fair. That is an amazing cast. It's a brilliant film.
George Martin was the musical director, conductor, arranger and producer of the film's soundtrack album. I mean, this should have been enormous, but it's kind of been forgotten about pretty much. I don't think I've ever seen it. It's the kind of thing you'd remember if you had. VH1's 100 Most Shocking Moments in Rock and Roll, it finished number 76 in that list, so I just don't think it worked out for them. But I wish I'd watch that.
It was a great idea, though.
Do a deep dive of it, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that.
Put it on the list.
Uptown Top Ranking is at number 3. It's just dropped. It was at number 1. It's a great song. I remember seeing a documentary where Althea and Donna talked about it, and it started as a joke. They were schoolgirls, and they were in a studio, and they started ad-libbing silly piss-take lyrics to another track called Three Piece Suit by Trinity, and they were just taking the piss out of, like, they were British Jamaicans, so they were second generation, they were like British girls but born to Jamaican parents in London or whatever, and they were taking the piss out of some of the old school Jamaican lads who sort of sung all these tough guy songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm Strictly Roots and all of that. So they were just doing a sort of a satire. It was satirical. But someone heard them doing it in the studio and thought they were so funny doing it. They said, let's put it out as a single. And in fact, although it was meant as a joke, obviously it is really great. It's a great tune, but also they're just so charismatic. When you see the old clips of them doing it on Top of the Pops, they're just a very charismatic pair, aren't they?
But that Top of the Pops clip is weird because there used to be a musicians' union rule back then. If you were on Top of the Pops, you had to re-record your song for Top of the Pops, including the musicians originally on it. If there was any musicians that weren't available or whatever, they had to re-record it with the BBC orchestra.
Right.
So the Top of the Pops footage of Uptown Top Ranking has got them playing alongside the BBC orchestra. And it doesn't sound very much like the actual single that, you know, you were going out and buying. And I don't think the BBC Orchestra had the chops to be able to pull off some reggae in 1978. So it's worth having a look at that. I'll tell you
what
I'm going to do.
Style of music? How will this be played? In the Reggie style?
We'll have a bit of the original and then leading into a bit of the Top of the Pops version. So you can compare and contrast.
Now pop, no style. I'll strictly roots. Now pop, no style. I'll strictly roots. See me on the road and you no call out to me. Do you see me in my pants and tick? See me in my altar back. See me give you a heart attack. Give me little bass, make me wine on my waist. Uptown top ranking. See me in my Benz and tick. That is true constant spring. Them checks say we come from Cosmo Spring. But the two them no know and tick. Them no know say we top ranking. Uptown top ranking.
There you go. Bit of a difference between the original and the BBC Orchestra version. It's like those albums they used to bring out called Top of the Pops in the 1970s where
and it was re-recorded versions.
The hits of the day and they'd bung them out on a cheap album. Because Elton John sang on quite a few of them before he was big.
Oh, he did, didn't he? That's in the book. Yeah, fantastic. I'm just thinking 1978 is an amazing year for music because I don't remember it vividly, having been only three, although I do have some early memories of sitting in our house and watching Top of the Pops. It was a big family event. Even when I was very young, I've got memories of that. But anyway, it's what's amazing is if you look at the mix, it's funny when you pick these top tens out at random and there's so many songs that have stayed the distance that were all in the charts at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, even if you just look at the top 15 tracks, there's so many songs that I would say are legitimate, if not classics, and certainly songs that you hear on rotation to this day on loads of mainstream radio stations and TV shows, right? But the genre mix is really interesting because there's a big dollop of reggae in there, you know, like whether Bob Marley or Alfie and Donna.
There's
still a lot of disco, right? And then there's this sort of new mutation of disco into pop, like ABBA, Brotherhood of Man. And then you've got stuff like Wings, you know, and Rod Stewart. It's just an interesting mix, isn't it?
Darts doing the whole retro thing, the whole retro rock and roll thing that was kind of big around then as well. There's not much punk in there. There's adverts at number 38, but there's not a lot of the punk stuff.
So is this just as punk's dying out or what?
Well, the Stranglers are there as well. It's kind of punk was dying out and what was called New Wave was kind of coming in.
Right.
In 78, I thought there would have been more punk stuff in the top 40, but there's not. I'm just looking outside the top 40. In at number 42, Wuthering Heights, Kate Bush. That was just about to break through.
Linda Ronstadt at 35, that's sort of like California West Coast sort of rock, isn't it?
Yeah,
Country-ish rock.
Coolidge, Crystal Gayle as well, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue.
Yeah.
Classic country pop thing.
David Soul dominating because presumably Starsky and Hutch was in its pomp at that time as well. That's doing me a few fucking favours with the record sales.
Yeah, it's unlocked the door of the old charts for me there. I've done a Silver Lady. And what's our other one?
I can't remember half the names of them. I could knock any shite out there anyway, at the moment.
Let's have a quiet night in. That's the new one.
So I've decided to call the new one.
Anything else that stands out? I vividly remember Hot Legs by Rod Stewart.
Time.
because I remember the video for that. It was one of my very first triggering videos.
Because I can tell just by the name of the song.
I'm going to put it on YouTube and just have a look and remind myself. It was a lot of it was filmed from behind a woman who had hot legs. And Rod was like, she was framing the picture and Rod was in the middle in between them singing his song.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you ever saw her face. Now. And she's wearing fishnets and there he is in his dungarees on.
He's objectified her. Classic Rod.
He has, yeah.
And, Classic Rod.
I've got to admit, at the age of 5 and a half, I was fucking objectifying her as well.
Even though I didn't know what it meant. For a bit of objectification.
Yeah, I knew no better.
Rod had lost his mind at this stage, hadn't he, really? I mean, he'd fucking, like, he'd gone from Rod the Mod, who had quite a lot of credibility, didn't he?
To Rod the Chod.
And Rod had just fucking lost it. He just thought, fuck this. I'm devoting my whole life to Fanny. I'm moving to LA because that's where all the best stuff is.
And I think, do you think I'm sexy came at about the same time? It was either the follow-up to that or the one before that. So, you know, it was like, it's all about fucking copping off. That's what I'm all into now.
That's all
drinking,
I'm into,
copping
forget
off football.
It. All these lads, they're going on about music, this, that and the other. All my old mates, like, fucking Clapton and those dickheads. I tell them, you're wasting your time. Life only comes down to one thing, and I'm going to get as much of it as I can, while I can.
Before it drops off. You ain't got forever, tell you that.
I actually love Do You Think I'm Sexy. I think it's a fucking blinding song.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
But you can't think of it whilst doing that. You can't think of it without two things come to mind. One is, of course, Kenny Everett as Rod Stewart with his ever-inflating arse, which is one of my favourite all-time sketches, where his arse just gets bigger and bigger, and in the end it gets so big that he floats off, because it's like a balloon. And also, I don't know if you know the film So I Married an Axe Murderer with Mike Myers, but the funniest thing about that film is Mike Myers plays the main character called Charlie, but he also plays his own father. So he's one of those ones where he plays two roles. He plays his own dad, who's an old, mad, drunken Scotsman.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And at the wedding, he sings Do You Think I'm Sexy, because he's so into being... It's set in Canada, but he's so into being Scottish. Mm. And it's a fucking remarkable performance of Do You Think I'm Sexy by Mike Myers. I'm watching the video here for Hot Legs, and it starts off and he's in America somewhere, and he's riding along on a truck with all his mates, and they're all dressed ridiculously like children's entertainers.
Yeah.
And they come along, it's an old town, and they come along a dusty track, and sat on this old, seemingly unused railway track is some Doris, as Rod would no doubt have called her.
Whose face we never see.
Who we never see. We always see is her bestockinged legs. And he jumps off the truck he's riding on and he's like, aye, aye, what's this? Oh, fucking hell, fortune's favoured old Roddy boy once again.
There's a pair of hot legs.
Here I am in the middle of fucking nowhere. And what should I come across? Some lovely Doris sprawled out across a railway track in stockings. Bingo.
I'll sing my new song at her. Hot legs.
I'm writing a song for you just off the top of my head. It's called Hot Legs. It's like this. Look, oh, it's quite predatory. He walks up just staring at her.
And he's sort of grabbing at her and stuff like that. It's very unsettling.
He's dressed like a presenter of Rainbow, isn't he?
Yeah. I was on my way to present the song to the board at KFC because it was supposed to be for an advert for their hot wings. But I'll just change the lyrics a bit and sing it to Nick Doris.
Fucking hell.
He looks very silly.
Absolute nutter.
Yeah, and then off they drive away into the distance. Dirty bastards. And they're fucking...
Well, Rod Stewart's book is a really good book. I don't know if you've read it. It's worthy of a deep dive at some point, I would say.
And Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, I've gone on about too much, so I'm not going to do it again. Phil Collins, I want to just deep dive the one chapter about Live Aid, although it's all brilliant.
Yeah.
But I would say it's a close-run thing between Rod Stewart and Phil Collins for which is best.
Yeah.
Elton John's edges them both.
Sam,
edges them both.
We've got forever. There's no rush.
Yeah.
We can do them both. We can do them both. I reckon that's it for that chart. We'll do another one in a couple of weeks. I think we've picked the bones out of that pretty much. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope we turned you on to some new music that you'd never been into
before. Yeah, hope
changed
your
life.
Open your mind.
Bit.
Yeah.
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 So that's what we're here for. We're here to educate, inform, and entertain, primarily. So yeah, I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another one. TTFN, dickheads.
See you, pop fans. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.